evening. It's wonderful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for the message we heard this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to stand before you today. Recently, I've been videotaping myself a lot to try to improve the quality of my work performance at work. And I just noticed something here recently. Well, I don't speak too good anymore. You don't have to speak good for the Holy Spirit to let you know what's said. I'm thankful for that. Amen. It's my prayer tonight that I'll do the best I can. I know God put a message on my heart that He wants you to hear. I know it was beneficial for me to study. Pray with me and that God will give me liberty and the ability to convey the words to you that He'll have me to speak. We're going to look at a real short passage of Scripture, something Elias said. Prepare the way for the Lord. Said it in the desert. Don't know how many people heard it, but we read it today. Prepare the way for the Lord. I love that. Before Jesus Christ walked on this earth, people were preparing the way for His coming. People were waiting for Him to walk on this earth and teach them His ways, not from just the prophets, but from Jesus Christ Himself. They were anxiously waiting His coming. The message I have is a message that I preached last time I stood at Maysville, a little different. But if I was to put a title on this message, it'd be Prepare the Way for the Lord for a Touchy-Feely Lord. What I mean by that is while Jesus was on this earth, He had feelings. And He let us know how we should have the same type of feelings that He showed. If we look at Matthew 14:14, just after a dear friend of Jesus was murdered, was put to death, He went on. I don't know what took place in between, but as we can read in Matthew, it's the very next thing to John the Baptist's death that we can read in Jesus' life. And I'm going to read that real quick. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. After His dear friend was put to death, He went on and saw a multitude and was filled with compassion. The multitude in this instance, were told there as sheep with no shepherd. But Jesus immediately, being the great shepherd he is, started to be their shepherd, be the shepherd to this multitude. While he was filled with compassion, he healed their sick. I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 29. I know this is a rather lengthy reading, but I ask you to turn it with me in your Bibles and read it along with me. This is Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29. I'm going to start reading. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. No doubt, Jesus was filled with compassion at this multitude, as he was in many instances. And the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him and saluting him. It was a pretty amazing thing to see Jesus, this person that was prophesied from, well, the beginning of time, that we know of his coming. And asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnash his teeth, and pineth away, and I spake unto the disciples that should cast him out, and they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Jesus said, "Bring him to me. I can take care of this. No problem." But Jesus was going to teach us something. He's going to teach us something about the compassion that we do not have. And they brought him unto him. When he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming from the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee to come out of him, and to enter into him no more." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Jesus is all powerful. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" This is very important. And Jesus said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." Jesus' disciples at this time, his chosen disciples and his apostles, were given powers that none of us can comprehend, powers that no man that has lived in since I can remember the history book saying, and I don't believe any of y'all can recall, but no man has had that power since. But these chosen disciples were looked to perform a task that that seemed to them so simple, like something they've done a bunch of times before, but still they could not. And they asked Jesus in private, "Jesus, why couldn't we do this?" Jesus said, "It's special. It's special. Not this case was special, but to heal a person's soul, to completely and utterly change their life, that's special. That's something no man can do. That's something only Jesus Christ can bring, eternal salvation." And I would now draw your attention to Matthew 14:14. In Matthew 14:14, it's a multitude miracle. I like multitude miracles. I like to read about them. They make me happy, yes. They teach me so much. And we see that Jesus had compassion on this multitude. He had compassion so much while he was in between teaching and healing their sick, he noticed that, oh wait, they're going to be hungry. And they're not going to have a way. The disciples brought this fact up that the people were hungry and they needed to leave this place, leave the place where they were gathered and go home and eat so they should not faint and grow weary. But Jesus said, "No, I'll take care of this situation." This multitude miracle, after Jesus had such a great compassion, he took care of this miracle. He took care of the situation. He fed over 5,000 men, women, and children. The sheep with no shepherd. But by the time they ate, maybe one, two, or three of them realized they had a shepherd. I believe each one of us here tonight that's saved knows that we have a shepherd. We have a great teacher. Now I want us to turn our attention to woman with the issue of blood, Matthew 9:20-21. Amongst the multitude, Jesus has been healing in this multitude, different situation, different multitude, different time, different place. But nonetheless, he was doing the same thing. He's teaching and healing. And in between healing, a woman that might not have had the abilities that everybody else had, somehow managed to muster up the strength to, gee whiz, if I just touch the hem of his garment, that kind of faith, the faith that Brother Miller spoke of this morning, that kind of faith is what healed that lady. Jesus knew amongst the multitude that somebody touched his garment, and no doubt the people were brushing up against him. He knew that there's a woman behind him. As he turned around, he still knew it. He knew that there's going to be a woman behind him. And the woman knew that she was going to be just fine because Jesus said so. Now I'm going to ask a question. What would have happened if that woman, a woman with the issue of blood, had no way to reach Jesus? Didn't have the strength, didn't have the ability to make it through the great multitude, the hundreds of people gathered together to witness this great, these great miracles that were bound to happen. But what would happen if she didn't make it to Jesus and touch his garment? But it's my belief that the woman would have died. Prepare a way for the Lord. Not only did Elias mean prepare a way for the Lord because he's going to come to this earth, so let's make a spot for him to come and to be on this very earth. Elias also meant prepare the way for the Lord in our own lives, in the lives of those around us. In the lives that may be lost, dying without sin and going to eternal hell, prepare a way for them. But we can't save anybody's life for the fact that we cannot prepare their soul for eternal salvation, eternal glory in heaven with Jesus Christ, but we have the duty to prepare the way for the Lord in the lives of those around us. We can do that at our places of work. We can do that in our households. We can do that for a grandparent that might not be able to make it to church. We can do everything that is in our power and then go the extra step and ask for strength from above to get that person to church. We can do that for our children, our grandparents and our children. And I see that we can be doing that on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights in this church building. We can take it to that extent. We can make pews with aisles down the middle. I see one over there too, where people can come up, not be bothered, not be told some fable about making a decision, but we can hold on to what we know is true and allow them the opportunity to get up to this altar and kneel down and pray. It's not the altar that saves them, but it's the great shepherd. It's the great shepherd. I'm not going to take up much more of your time with this message. I hope y'all have something on your hearts, because this is not about me standing up and speaking. I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I'm going to sit down. But that doesn't mean we have to go home. But I'm going to turn your attention to Luke chapter 22 in the garden, where Jesus found a quiet place to go pray. In Luke 22:44, Jesus knelt and prayed to his Father, "God, let this cup pass me. I don't want to die on the cross. But guess what? I want your will more than mine. I know there's a greater purpose. I know lives. I know Michael Carter. I know Matthew Carter. I know Brother Miller, Sister Paulita, Brother Joey, Brother Joe Wheat, Brother and Sister Doss. I know each one of them, because they're my sheep. I spent my life, Jesus spent his life on earth, teaching and healing the sick. For what? To save my soul, to save your soul. He did it so there would be a bridge to cross. There would be a way for each one of us to get to heaven, to worship with God after our lives on earth are over. I heard something Brother Miller said that really got to me. And it's very simple. Never heard it put this way, but it's a great, great thing. Have you ever got goosebumps? Have you ever had a feeling where you just shiver inside, where your skin starts to get bumps? Well, I believe there's something called gospel bumps that Jesus will give you. After the garden, Jesus suffered everything. He died on the cross. He was crucified for my sin, your sins, for all of our sins. It was prophesied from the beginning of time that he would do this. And I'm going to read two passages of scripture, and I'm going to put them together in the order that I believe they happened. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to put these two together. In in Jesus' final moments, he said, "And if this doesn't give you gospel bumps, then something's wrong with you. You need to be praying for your own lives to get right with the Lord. You might be saved, but you might need to get right with the Lord in the fact that there are lost people around you that God's going to call on you to do something that might affect the lives of that lost person. He might call on you to prepare the way for that lost person." And the verses say, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. It is finished.' And having said this, he gave up the ghost." All Jesus' work on earth were over. They were completed. But he rose again to go on to teach. He's in heaven and he continues to teach. Call on his name. Ask him what it is you need to do for your life. You might not be a preacher. You might not be a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, but be a disciple for God. Spread his word. Prepare the way for the Lord. Somebody's life is depending on it. Make that extra step. Ask God for the strength. We can't save their lives, but we can at least do something, and God will tell us what that something is. That's my message. I'm going to ask if there's something on your hearts tonight. If you have a prayer request, I think we all need to be praying for our revival. I need revival. I need to be energized because I know I can do more. I can prepare the way for the Lord, clear the way for somebody I may not even know at the time, but I still can do it with God's help. Is there a word on anybody's heart? Is there a prayer request? I'd like to pray with you.
I hope. reach out and physically touch Jesus. But you know what? One day as a little 12-year-old boy, Jesus touched me. Mm-hmm. Through faith, Jesus touched me. I've done nothing to deserve his favor, but he knew the desire that I had in my heart, and he took that burden away. I remember how strong that burden of sin got. It seemed like it every day it got heavier and heavier and heavier, and the Lord reached out and just like that, he took it away. He took it away. Aren't you thankful that there is an experience of salvation? It's real. It's not something that you imagine, but it's real. I enjoyed your message very much tonight, and we have things to do. We have things to do. The prophet Isaiah, he knew that he had things to do when he said to the Lord, "Here am I, send me." You know what? We need to be willing to do what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes it takes a little courage to do it too. It's not always easy to do what the Lord wants you to do. It's not always easy to follow the Lord's teachings. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, there are some things that go counter to everything that we've learned in life, that we've been taught. It's hard to pray for those that despitefully use you, isn't it? Those that have malice in their dealings with you, that they have a desire to hurt you. But we're taught to do that. That's hard to do. I enjoyed your message very much tonight as you were talking about the Lord being crucified and what he suffered through. The pain and agony that he went through was beyond our comprehension. We can't comprehend what all happened to him because he left the home of glory and came down and lived as a man among sinful men on the face of this earth. Yet he lived above sin. He was rich. He made himself poor. Why? Well, the only reason that you could find was because he loved the human family.
Yeah.
I like to read the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the first 3 or 4 verses of it, where it talks about Jesus as being the author and finisher of our faith. And it says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame." It's hard to see, I think, that there could have been a joy that happened on Calvary, that day that he was crucified. That's hard to comprehend that there could have been any joy in that. But you know what it was? He looked out and he said, "Here's Michael Carter. He's going to stand in need of a Savior someday, and I'm dying for his sins. Here's Dallas Wheat. He's going to stand in need of a Savior someday, and I'm dying for his sins." Whosoever will, everyone has an invitation, don't they? Oh, I'm thankful to be a child of God. As you spoke tonight, there were so many things that crossed my mind about what Jesus did for us. He's made a way. He's made a way for the rich. He's made a way for the poor. He's made a way. pray for those that might consider themselves to be extremely intelligent. And then he made a way for the common man, hadn't he? Salvation is in the reach of everyone. I thought about in the book of Deuteronomy, where they're talking about making sacrifices to the Lord. Some were able to bring a bull. And I'm sure that would have been a big sacrifice to the Lord in that day. It would have fed a family for a good while. And some didn't have the ability to do that. So there was a way for life. They could bring a couple of doves. Some couldn't do that. And they could bring some flour. But God has placed this within the reach of everyone. Salvation is something that can be attained for everyone if they exercise faith. God bless you, Brother Carter. I enjoyed your sermon very much.
We love you, Brother Wheat. Anybody else? Here in a minute, I'm going to turn the service over to Brother Miller, but before we dismiss tonight, I would like us all to gather together. We might have to make it a big circle, but I want us all to join hands and sing a song and practice that compassion that Jesus wanted us to have. Show it towards one another. Leave this place. Show it to somebody else. And show it to somebody else, and then another person, invite them to church, invite them to revival. Maybe a lost person will be saved. Invite them to VBS. We're not taking vacation from God. We're taking vacation for God. Brother Miller.